Welcome to the Local Spotlight Show here at WJBM Studios in Jerseyville, Illinois, the voice of the Tri-Counties. Today, I have a very interesting person with me. I'm sure you all know her, I've heard about her. Lori Frankie Hopkins. Welcome, Lori.
Thank you, Chris. It's an honor to be here.
Well, it's an honor to have you.
Thank you.
Now, Lori, you're a Calhouner, like me and like Craig over there. You know, we're Calhouners. You grew up in Calhoun, and you found your way out across the river, like we all have. So, tell me a little bit. First of all, touch on your family. How about your dad and mom? A little bit about them.
Yes, I would love to. And what a beautiful place to grow up. And it's very, very similar to good old Jersey County. So Calhoun, we were living in Hardin. And then at 5 years of age, we moved to Bashtown, where my parents built a house right where my grandpa's radio station was. He had the big old ham tower
really? That
you see right there on the hill, you know. Yeah. And my dad was a state trooper. My mom was a school teacher. So, you know, you kind of grow up middle class and you do your thing and you play ball and you hang with friends and you go to town. And, it just was a great childhood with lots of blessings.
You know, your dad and I had a relationship.
Oh, I'm afraid.
Periodically, he would pull me over. I had like a 68 when I was 16, 17. I had a 68 Camaro, and I always jacked the back of it up, you know, so you'd be riding like you're going downhill. You know, I thought you got better gas mileage. Like and periodically, he'd pull me over. Chris, you got the back end of that car way too high. Do you realize what can happen if somebody hits you in the back end of that gas tank? I'm like, I know, but it looks cool.
Right.
But your dad, Jim Frankie, was well known throughout the county, kept everything. It was really nice having a state trooper living in the area, for sure.
Thank you. I have to tell the story, though. I actually never had a boyfriend in school during elementary school, high school. Well, elementary, you know, that was different. High school, never. Because who wants to meet Jim Frankie at the door? And I remember I had
he was armed.
Right. I had a gentleman call me, and I picked up the phone the exact same time my dad did. And my dad was questioning him and said, are you going to be a Marine? Are you going to go into the state police? You know, he had specific objectives for that, for my love of my life.
Oh, shoot. Okay, here we go. So speaking of Marines, you became a Marine. Now is that because your dad influenced you? You need to join the Marines, daughter. What
actually
happened?
It's actually quite the opposite, because I was 17 when I graduated high school and I wanted to enlist in the Marine Corps. My dad said, absolutely not. No daughter of mine's going to be a BAM. I will not say, because we're on radio, I will not say what BAM stands for, but you can look it up. Uh-huh. BAM. And so anyway, he said, you're going to college. So I went to college and I skipped all of my final exams so I could go to Florida with a couple of Calhoun girls.
Yeah.
And came back. I was 18. Went up to the Strip and enlisted in the United States Marine Corps. And I would have to say my dad was very influential, but my Uncle Herman, you know, he would always say, hey, boot, every time I walked in to see him, hey, boot. So, you know, I just liked what they had to say about the Marine Corps. And most importantly, I loved the camaraderie, you know, of the group. You know, they were just truly loyal to one another. I like that.
Yeah. But what was it like being a female and going into one of the toughest military groups there? I mean, to be a Marine, that's for the tough guys,
you know,
and gals.
First of all, I appreciate the question, because we talk now about accountability, whether it's accountability in kids in school or accountability in the workplace. There's something to be said about working hard for something, because when you work hard for something, then when you've achieved it, there's just a lot of pride there. So I think the Marine Corps was the hardest thing I've ever done, and I take great pride in saying that, yes, I am a Marine. But I go back to the military police hump that I had to do. It was a 9-mile hump. And this is the story I tell. And this is a story I told the football boys in the Jersey High School locker room. And that is, I went in with a pink shirt and a white skirt, and they're looking at me like, what does this chick have to offer? But I said to them, I went on a hump, and it was required, and I had an M16 over my shoulder, a 45 on my waist. I had a 50-pound backpack with a tent, an extra pair of black utility boots, and then I had my utilities, my boots, in the middle of summer in Texas. And 9 miles, here we go. And I thought, I'm going to do this. And the drill instructor looked at me straight in the eye and said, you're a girl and you are not going to make it. And he said it in more colorful language, of course. So I was determined. But by the time I got to that 4th mile, I was struggling. By the time I got to the 5th, I was ready to give up. And I looked over yonder and there was a truck. And it was filled with both Air Force, airmen, airwomen, and Marines. And I did not want to end up there. I wanted to achieve. But here's what happened.
There was a truck that would pick him up?
Picked up the ones who
quit.
And well, you could see it yonder. Yeah.
If you quit, then what happened? You were kicked out of the Marines?
No, then you get punished. You know, you're going to do more.
You got to do some extra stuff.
Extra stuff. I'm sure that you get an earful. And especially if the girl makes it. And you're a guy sitting in that truck.
All right.
But what happened is my comrades, and this is why, again, this is why the Marine Corps means so much to me. My comrades gathered, one on the left, one on the right, one in the front, one on the back, and one in the back. And they started, come on, Frankie, you got this. You got this. Come on. And they actually cheered me on the way a Marine does, you know, a little deeper. Come on, Frankie, you got this. For mile 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. And I did make it. And definitely proud of that fact. But I said to those football boys, I said, you know, what I want you to know is I didn't make it. We made it. Without them, I would have given up. That is why teammates, camaraderie is so important. And it's important in life. So you're learning it in high school on a team. I learned it in the Marine Corps being part of something bigger than me.
Yes, yes. It is important to be part of a team.
Yeah.
Teams can do a lot, yeah, for sure. Now, where'd you go when you graduated as a Marine? Then you went into teaching or superintendent? I know you were superintendent, but what happened prior to making it to be superintendent of Jerseyville?
So I actually left the Marine Corps, came back home, and I worked at the Alton Bell Casino, the first riverboat casino in Illinois, for 8 years.
Really?
Yes. Yes. And that was an education. Very interesting.
What'd you do
there? I was security officer turned security shift manager.
Okay.
It was an enjoyable job. I really, really loved it. But I went back to school while working as a security shift manager. And so went back to school for education. That's where I met my husband, at Southern Illinois University, Edwardsville. And once I got my degree, I got my first job in Carrollton. And that's when I realized that Calhouners had a reputation for having uneven legs. I did not realize
that.
You
didn't know that?
Had no idea. And I joked about my teeth. Like, are those your teeth? Oh. I never heard those jokes before. So, you know, now when I say I'm from Calhoun, I will say my legs are the same size and these are my teeth. I don't know where that came from, but it was always, I think it was, you know, just to bring a little bit of laughter, humor to the conversation.
So you're married and you have a couple girls?
Three girls, yes.
How old are your girls? What's their names?
So 34-year-old daughter, Shale. Who, I like that shocked look on your face, Chris.
34?
That's right, 34.
What'd you 34. Have her when you were 15? I know
did.
You didn't.
Yes, no. 34, and she is in Atlanta, but she's moving to New York. She's a comic.
A comic?
And comic.
Stand-up comedian.
She does stand-up. She also does some, you know, she has a few characters that she puts out there on social media, too. So she... Yes, she's my funny one.
Yeah.
But my middle child is a cosmetologist, and she works at Mirage Salon and Barbershop in Alton. And then my youngest, who I really, you know, we thought, it's time to go look at colleges. And she's like, oh, no, I'm going in the Marine Corps. So my youngest is a Marine, And she actually just came off of drill in Arkansas for 3 weeks, had the time of her life.
She wanted to be just like Mom.
She's actually a little bit tougher than Mom. Is she? And she's a corporal already. I won't steal her thunder, but she actually starts the police academy in a St. Louis area coming up soon. So she got hired on as a police officer. So she's really super excited about that too.
Yes. So now, if you're just joining us, I have Lori Frankie Hopkins with us and giving a little of her history and visiting with us here at the Local Spotlight Show. Lori, now, you were at Carrollton, you were saying. Now, were you in administration there?
I was a teacher
there. Teacher. Mm-hmm. What'd you teach?
English, drama, yeah, and speech comm.
Okay. But somewhere along the line, you got into administration. At Carrollton, or where did it happen at?
So I went back to school while teaching, but I then got hired on at SIUE as their testing administrator and finished my general administrative program and got a degree for the principalship. And left there, went to Blackburn College and became a professor for teacher prep students, which I really enjoyed too. And I was able to really put theory, you know, in the works there, and then left there to become an administrator and got hired on at Jersey. So yeah. I put theory into practice, and just really what a blessing, because I had applied at other places. And when Jersey called, I was just
right in your own backyard.
Right on, yes.
How long were you superintendent?
4 years.
4 years?
4 years.
Hmm. How was that? Was it good?
So to be transparent, it was a great job.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a great job for someone who has a background in business. It's a great job.
Mm-hmm.
I missed the kids. Like, the principalship was probably my favorite job because I got to know all the kids.
Yes.
So I would tell Debbie Trocek, who is just an angel and did a great job, I told her, I'm going to go get fed. And that meant I was going into the schools to just see kids and teachers. I just loved the learning environment. So I did miss that.
Yeah. So you said that next, were you an educator or an education accreditor?
Right. So I worked for the largest and oldest accreditor after leaving the superintendency. And this provided me with the opportunity to visit schools from all over the United States.
Explain what that position is.
Sure. So accreditation is really looking at schools and their climate and culture, their leadership, their resource capacity areas. So ensuring that they have what they need in order to provide the best education for the students they serve. So it's really looking at standards and seeing whether or not a school meets those standards.
Mm-hmm.
That's really what accreditation is. It's saying that this school has credibility in their education programs.
Is this mainly with college universities, or does it go into high schools as well?
Well, our accreditor is a K-12 accreditor. So it's schools.
So where all did you work at? Where did you cover?
Oh, well, I covered Illinois, Missouri, Oklahoma, at one point even Virginia. So I was a state director, but I also traveled to Alabama and Florida and, on the spot. A lot of different places.
A lot of traveling.
Mm-hmm. A lot of traveling.
How long did you do that?
For almost 5 years.
5 years. Mm-hmm. And you got out of that because?
Well, I was working with some schools and talking with their superintendents and just finding that they don't have a lot of funds. They can't really afford a membership fee for accreditation, but they certainly want some support. And I just decided that I needed to become, help them. So I became my own consultant, an education consultant, and I just went out and worked with schools.
You started your own business, your own consulting firm.
Yes.
You just never stop, do you?
Oh, I do. I do. But I kind of like what we talked with your radio station, you know, the law of attraction. I was thinking about it, and so therefore I brought about it. It came.
Yes. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, that works.
What's the name of your company?
Be Just Me Consulting.
Be Just Me Consulting.
Yes. And it is based off of a children's book that I wrote many, many years ago when my oldest was five called I Want to Be Just Me. And it's really about being your most authentic self. And it's a kid's book because oftentimes kids watch, whether it's social media or influencers or singers or professional athletes, and they say, I want to be like that. And I say, be like you. Be the very best you can be. And aspire to be whatever it is you want. And so that's really...
That's the concept
that's
of the book?
Yes.
Okay. What age group is that book?
Well, I say an adult sometimes would benefit from reading it too. Because at the very end it says, when I grow up, I want to be just me, a little boy or girl who will change the world. I want to be just me.
I see. Where do you get this book at? How can you find
it? It's on Amazon.
Yeah?
Amazon. So I actually have three children's books on Amazon, and I have a new one that will be released in about a week.
Well, first of all, before we get to the new one, you have Be Just Me. What's your other book?
The Power of Positive Thinking, or I'm sorry, The Power of Positive Music.
Power of Positive Music.
Yes.
Okay.
And then my other is I Like, I Like, I Like.
I Like, I Like, I Like. Three books. And you got a fourth one coming.
That one is called The Test.
Okay, well, tell me about the second book. We got some time here.
The Power of Positive Music.
Yes. What's it about?
So this is it.
Because we do music here. We do country music.
I love it.
And we actually have some really good music. I really enjoy our music. Of course, I've always kind of been, I guess maybe in the last 20 years, have geared toward country music. You know, you got to take a look at Nashville. I mean, Nashville is the most hopping place there is. So, I mean, people love country music. I mean, country, and I think Calhoun, Jersey, Green, we're country.
I'm in a band, Chris, and we play a variety of music, but my love is old dirt, red dirt music.
Uh-huh.
And that's very country, really derives from like Oklahoma, you know, uh-huh, down south.
Yeah.
And, you know, just back to the values piece. Right. And that's the whole point of the Power of Positive Music. I was trying to pick out songs. I mean, even songs that kids play, you know, warm up to on basketball, you have the music.
Yes.
You know, and you, as a school leader, you have to listen to that.
Right.
And make sure there's not in any inappropriate words. And we shouldn't have to do that. That's just my belief. I like, you know, just down home, good music, positive music. So.
On a side note, just quickly.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
my dad was a big music guy, right? Of course, he was in the 40s. And he had a stack of records he'd put on the record machine. And he'd every evening, he'd come home, put them on there, and there's like 20 records. And they would flop, play as one. They would play a side, and then flop. And then you'd hear the next one, then flop. And you'd hear that. He'd go through. And he put together this tape for everybody, okay? And it was this music that he loved. It was a little bit, I think he did it, he was dying. You know, he was going to be dying. He put this cassette together. And the title of it was Just Good Music. Oh yeah, it's
that's precious.
Yes,
it's that's precious.
But on your book, you just talk about positive music, positive writers or positive musicians or what?
Actually, it's a children's book.
Oh, children.
So I can quote it right now really quickly. It's creative in nature like the sun and the moon. Gather the notes together, imagine the tune. Pull words from your heart and put into song so the whole entire world will sing right along. It'll put a twinkle in your eye and a smile upon your face, give you freedom of expression anytime, anyplace. I hope you can feel it from your head down to your feet. It's Power of Positive Music, the path to your fortune street.
Nice. Nice. Let me see. I'm going to have to write that down.
Well, buy the book.
Yes,
there
I will.
You go.
I will buy the book for sure. Okay, so we had that book. And your third book?
I Like, I Like, I Like.
I Like, I Like.
It's honestly, it's just about all the things you like. You like cheese, or you like bacon, or you like this, that, or the other. But the thing is, when it comes to human beings, there's a lot of love to happen. And so it's all the things you like, but I love you. You know, that's the end. I don't have that one memorized, but that's the gist.
I see. And this book that you have here, this is your new book?
That is my new
your book.
Book.
Oh, yes. And the name of the book is Just Lori. Just Lori, a memoir of an ordinary gal. A lifelong journey of living, learning, and loving. By Lori Frankie Hopkins. How nice. You know, and there's a lot of pages in here, too.
Yeah, there.
And yes. This book is for me.
Yes.
And I get to read
yes.
it. All right.
Yes.
Thank you so
you're
much.
You're welcome. Absolutely.
Appreciate it. Well, Lori, you know what? I think we're going to have to come back because we've talked about a lot of things and I've run out of time.
Okay.
But what we're going to do is I'm going to have you back and we're going to do another episode because I know you're the president of a new company did you start the company yourself or how did that happen?
We have a group of investors. And there are 8 business streams, and this is one of them. And they said, what do you want to do, Lori? And so I was able to share with them what my vision would be for this particular company. So
yes. All right. Next episode, you're going to hear all about the new company that Lori Frankie Hopkins has put together. And I know a little bit of something, and you're going to like it. So,
thank you.
Lori, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you.
And I'll see you again soon.
Yes. Thank you, Chris. Very, very grateful.
You're welcome. Bye.
Bye.